thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, the series where we'll let you know what's new in manufacturing, processing, packaging, coding, and so much more. We'll drop a new episode bi-weekly to keep you updated with the latest news and insights that affect your business. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from the Supreme Court rejecting changes to the pork industry, to Tyson suffering blow after blow, to McDonald's being busted, and finally, to the FDA cracking down on dangerous seafood practices. So, starting off, the Supreme Court has rejected a challenge to a California animal cruelty law that affects the pork industry, ruling that the case was properly dismissed by lower courts. The law in question requires more space for breeding pigs, and producers say that it would force the $26 billion a year industry to change its practices, even though the majority of pork products come entirely outside of California. Pork producers explained that the law could force industry-wide changes and raise the cost of bacon and other pork products nationwide. In October, liberals and conservatives discussed the possible effects of the case. Some worries whether greenlighting the animal cruelty law would give state legislators a license to pass laws targeting practices they disapprove of. For example, laws that say that products cannot be sold in the state if the workers who made it are not vaccinated or are not in the country legally. Another worry was how many state laws would be called into question if California's laws were not permitted. California's Proposition 12, which voters passed back in 2018, was called into question. This particular law said that pork sold in the state needs to come from pigs whose mothers were raised with at least 24 square feet of space with the ability to lie down and turn around. This rule out confined gestation crates, metal enclosures, which are common in the pork industry. The case ultimately led to the Iowa-based National Pork Producers Council and the American Farm Bureau Federation to use because they said that while Californians consume 13% of pork eaten in the U.S., nearly 100% of it comes from hogs raised outside of the state. Not to mention that the majority of sows are not raised to meet the standards of Proposition 12. The Biden administration ultimately sided with pork producers, seeing as though Proposition 12 would be wholesale change in how pork is raised and marketed in the country. It ultimately throws a giant wrench into the nation's pork market. If Proposition 12 were to have passed, it would have costed the industry $290 million to $350 million to ensure that all meat producers were meeting California standards. It seems that this episode is going from stressful to bleak, seeing as though Tyson Foods suffered a surprising loss in their second quarter, which is something that had not been seen since 2009. To add insult to injury, Tyson had been trying to cut costs over the last 6 months. In fact, it had closed its corporate offices in Chicago and South Dakota last year and consolidated its workforce in Arkansas. In March, Tyson announced the closure of two plants in Arkansas and Virginia in order to better use available capacity at other facilities. The closure led to 15% of senior leadership being laid off and 10% of corporate workers losing their jobs as well. So, what's causing these layoffs? It's all due to inflation on labor, grain, and other inputs. The CEO of Tyson, Donnie King, went on to say that feed for chickens was $145 million higher in the second quarter. And in 2021, the company raised wages and implemented changes like flexible scheduling in order to combat rising absenteeism at plants. Even though chicken sale volumes rose 6% in the quarter, prices lagged as supplies rose across the industry. Chicken wasn't the only product placed in a tight spot. In fact, Tyson's pork volumes rose 1%, but prices dropped 10% on lower global demand. In addition, beef sale volumes and prices dropped as U.S. demand sank with inflation-wary shoppers looking for alternatives. Donnie King also said, "I can't remember a time when our business faced the highly unusual situation that we're currently seeing, where all three of our core protein categories, beef, pork, and chicken, are experiencing market challenges at the same time." To put it into perspective, the Springdale, Arkansas company, which processes 20% of all U.S. chicken, beef, and pork, lost $97 million when just a year earlier the company had earned $829 million. While Tyson's main protein categories were struggling, it seems that not all hope was lost. In fact, its prepared food businesses like Jimmy Dean, Hillshire Farm, Ballpark, and Sara Lee all saw prices rising by 2%. Which ultimately helped the products gain market shares. King is confident that the global demand for meat will only grow as income increases, even if the U.S. demands inflation. We've been through market cycles before, I've been through them before myself, and we've always come out stronger on the other side. Now that's the kind of positivity we like to hear. You wouldn't expect to find kids working at McDonald's when you pull up to the drive-thru at 3 a.m., yet here we are baffled again. Investigators from the department's wage and hour division found two 10-year-old workers at a McDonald's in Louisville, Kentucky, along with a handful of other violations committed by two franchise operators. The investigations are part of the division's ongoing effort to stop child labor abuses in the Southeast region. The division investigated Bauer Food LLC, Archways Richwood LLC, and Bell Restaurant Group 1 LLC. These three separate franchises operate a total of 62 McDonald's locations across Kentucky, Indiana, Maryland, and Ohio, and found that they employed 305 children to work more than legally permitted hours while performing tasks prohibited by law for young workers. As a result of the findings of the investigation, the employers have currently been fined with $212,744 in civil penalties. Wage and Hour Division District Director Karen Garnett Civils in Louisville, Kentucky said, "Too often, employers fail to follow the child labor laws that protect young workers. Under no circumstances should there ever be a 10-year-old child working in a fast food kitchen around hot grills, ovens, and deep fryers. What practices are set in place by federal child labor regulations? The types of jobs minors can perform are limited, as well as the hours they can work. The hours for 14 and 15-year-olds include: work must not be permitted outside of school hours no more than 3 hours on a school day, this includes Fridays, and no more than 8 hours on non-school days. No more than 18 hours during a school week, and no more than 40 hours during a non-school week. No earlier than 7 a.m., and no later than 7 p.m. Some of the violations found during the investigations include: Bauer Food LLC, a Louisville-based operator of 10 McDonald's locations, employed 24 minors under the age of 16 to work more than legally permitted hours. These minors sometimes worked more hours a day or a week than the law permits, whether or not school was in session. Worst of all, it was determined that two 10-year-olds were employed but not paid and sometimes worked as late as 2 a.m., and occasionally one of the two children was allowed to work the deep fryer. Archways Richwood LLC, a Walton-based operator of 27 McDonald's locations, allowed 242 minors between the ages of 14 and 15 to work beyond available hours. Most worked earlier or later in the day than the law permits. Ultimately, Bauer Food LLC is facing $39,711 in civil money penalties to address the child labor violations, and Archways Richwood LLC is facing $143,566 in civil penalties for their violations. According to Garnett Civils, "We are seeing an increase in federal child labor violations, including allowing minors to operate equipment or handle types of works that endanger them, or employs them for more hours or later in the day than federal law allows. While most cases with child labor violations involve minors working more and later than the law permit, the division found 688 minors employed illegally in hazardous occupations in fiscal year 2022, which is surprising seeing as though the highest amount was documented back in 2011. We can all agree with Garnett Civils. One child injury at work is one too many. Child labor laws exist to ensure that when young people work, the job does not jeopardize their health, well-being, or education." A federal court has stopped a seafood processor and its operators from distributing its products after they were accused of violating the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act by distributing adulterated, ready-to-eat crab meat. A civil complaint for permanent injunction in a district court alleges that Irvington Seafood Incorporated, its owner and company officers, processed the crab meat at its Alabama factory, then sold and distributed the products across the country. The case revealed some unsettling details because apparently between 2006 and 2022, numerous FDA inspections of Irvington's facility revealed that crab meat products were being prepared, packaged, and held under insanitary conditions. According to the investigations, inspections allegedly found roaches, flies, maggots, and listeria on food contact and non-food contact surfaces of equipment. In addition to those allegations, further complaints were made because employees at the factory were allegedly not properly washing their hands and aprons and did not remedy the situation despite multiple FDA warnings. After the details of the case were revealed, Irvington Seafood Incorporated agreed to settle the suit and be bound by a consent decree of permanent injunction. This means that the federal court required the company to destroy all of its raw ingredients and food products. In addition, Irvington must notify the FDA before processing or distributing any food and allow the agency to inspect its facilities and procedures. All of these revelations and injunctions come after a year when Irvington Seafood Incorporated recalled 1-pound packages of crab meat for potential listeria contamination. Well, it wouldn't be a Sneedcast industry update if we didn't have a couple of busts, right? A little less than a month away from making our way to Guadalajara, Mexico for ExpoPAC and New York, New York for EastPAC. Both trade shows would be going on from June 13 to the 15th. So if you're ready to learn about how we keep coding simple or simply want to immerse yourself into a world of innovation, then keep an eye out for those social media updates and emails as both shows get closer. Stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, and like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on our Word Coding Everywhere tour. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, guys.